Annie, I think you're drawing something there.
You know, I try to draw this verse. If someone wants to come with me, he must forget himself, carry his cross, and they carry their crosses, you know, here.
All right, I see they're carrying their crosses.
And follow me.
Follow
me.
It's
the end of the verse, you know. Follow me. Me is Jesus.
All right. Where was he going with his cross?
You know, I have to draw Jesus in front of the other.
All right. Jesus Christ's cross then meant the path that he trod, the path that he took to death on Calvary's Hill for the salvation of mankind. And so he calls upon us to carry our crosses and follow him in imitation of his spirit, of his purpose, of his task, of his accomplishment.
You know, when I drew this drawing, one young man of 19 years old came and said, "Oh, your drawing is not good at all, you know. Jesus must be an example for the other, and he doesn't carry a cross."
So you want to put a cross on him?
You know, I have to try. Yes, I think yes, because already Peter denied Jesus. It is a cross.
All right.
And on the very day, Jesus will remain alone on the cross. What a cross already. I think I can draw one cross, and a big one. But, no, I don't think it is such a good idea, you know.
Why not?
You know, we cannot see Jesus, we cannot touch or hear Jesus really, but we feel him intensely in our heart. And I think the best way is to push him in the border, in the margin, and after that we can draw his footstep. If somebody wants to come with me, he must forget himself, carry his cross, whenever it is, and follow me. And Jesus will give us the strength to go till the end of the road, I think.
You will see here, I believe, something of the skill and the artistry and the knowledge and interpretation of the scripture that Annie provides, because in illustrating this passage from Mark 8, she has shown in this TEV New Testament not the figure of Jesus, but his footsteps. And there they are before us. We see where he was. We see where he went. We see what he did. And so we follow him, hoping and trying to do the same thing and tread the same path and accomplish the same purpose that he accomplished in his life. You're not only an illustrator, you are an interpreter.
Thank you.
Because if we are to follow Jesus, if we are to imitate him, if we are to obey him, we must know who he was. We must know where he went. We must know what he did. And so in God's providence and in God's grace, it came to some of us, this awful responsibility, this tremendous task, this unequal privilege of trying to put the words of Scripture into the words of one's own mother tongue, simply, clearly, idiomatically, so that all might read and all might understand. And the weight of this responsibility is something that one could not carry by himself unless he were assured that God's grace and God's Spirit overrule our weakness and our ignorance, and he is ever the constant teacher, present with those who read in faith, leading them into the knowledge of what the Scripture says and of what it means. Well, we try to put the New Testament in the kind of English that everyone who speaks English can understand, because English is today a world language, if not the world language. It is estimated that something like 1 billion people in the world today speak English as a second language. So we try to prepare a translation that could be understood and read by those who speak it as their own language or as a foreign language, who have a rather high or rather low degree of formal education, that those, even those who are without the church, who have little, if any, knowledge of the Christian faith and of the Bible, should understand at least something of what these Gospels and these letters are all about. And as one attempted to do this, it was my experience and it was my great joy of discovery to find that these men were really communicating, that they were really speaking to the times in which they lived and to the problems which their readers faced. And they were really aflame with the zeal of God to make the truth as it is known in Jesus Christ real and vital to their day and to their time. Some people ask me, what did those 2.5 years which you spent translating the New Testament do for you? Well, at times it made me humble because it made me realize how little I knew and how difficult the task and how impossible the task of fully translating, carrying over everything that is in one language, in one culture, into another language and another culture. At times it gave me a sense of despair and frustration because I was doing this within the limits of a rather restricted vocabulary and could not use the full resources of the English language to express the meaning of the Greek text, using a vocabulary smaller than the vocabulary of the original, which is, of course, an impossible task. But the greatest of all experiences and of all thrills and of all discoveries was to come to know some of these writers intimately and well. And particularly, it was my joy to come to know this man, Paul, better than I had ever known him before. And no longer do I see him as the great, austere, rather forbidding theologian and doctor of the church and the foremost interpreter of Jesus Christ. I see him as a missionary. I see him as a pastor. I see him as one who is concerned for the needs and the welfare of his people, trying desperately in so many different ways possible to interpret and apply the gospel of Jesus Christ to their own particular needs, to their own particular situations. And reading his epistles is, as J.B. Phillips, the incomparable master of us all, put it so well, is like working in a house in the electric wiring system when the electricity hasn't been turned off. You're liable to get a current through you sometimes if you don't watch out. And that's what's happened sometimes. As you deal with these words, sometimes patiently, sometimes impatiently, it comes to you all of a sudden what the man is really saying and what he is communicating. And how terrible it is then, and how frustrating it is, to hear these incomparable words and this living message clothed in a language which we no longer speak, clothed in words, manifested in words which we no longer use, in words that are archaic and that are obsolete, and that say to us that this has nothing to do with the present day and time. It has only to do with a dim, cold, dark past that is not relevant to our needs. When Paul speaks of the righteousness of God, for example, Paul is speaking of the discovery that he, as a Pharisee, could never have, that he, as a teacher of the law, could never know, the discovery that God, in his absolute grace and mercy, freely puts us right with himself without our being able to do anything about it. And so when he says the gospel shows how God puts men right with himself, it is through faith alone from beginning to end. Here is the clarion call. Here is the foundation stone of Paul's gospel for his time, for our times, for all times. And so it was my greatest of all privilege to be felt caught up sometimes by the same spirit that moved these men to write as they did, and to feel oneself in touch with them, in communion with them, as they were used in their day and time to proclaim these truths for their time and to proclaim them for our own time and for all times. And so it is that as we do this work, we do it out of the conviction that what we are dealing with in the scripture is not just a book written to inform or to amuse or to entertain. What we're dealing with is not magic. It is power, power to transform. What we're dealing with here is not a panacea, a cure-all. It is a diagnosis and a description of man's condition, of man's situation. And so it is in this conviction that this word must go to all men everywhere in their own language, in their own forms of speech, in their own culture, that lead us to try to communicate the gospel in today's English and in today's language all over the world. One missionary working among the Mio tribes of Laos was trying to find a word that would express that word grace, that tremendous word in the New Testament that speaks of the unmotivated, uncaused love of God, unmerited love of God, which leads him to give his son. And so he was given a word by his people that he found out meant any kind of good deed, do young, something like that. If you did a favor, if you helped somebody, if you spoke a kind word, that was do young. But the man said, there must be some special word. And they said, well, this is the word that we use. And he knew that surely there must be another word to express this concept of God's grace, that unmotivated, uncaused, unmerited love. So one day, as he was going with a group of his people to another village to conduct a Christian service, they crossed a stream over which a log had been placed, and in the crossing, one of the girls in the party fell into the water and was in danger of drowning. So the missionary jumped in and, in considerable risk to himself, pulled the girl out. And when it was found out that she was safe and he was safe, the people started talking about what had happened, and they started using another word to describe it. Not do young, the word for kindness or favor or good deed, but another word, something like do gee. And so the missionary said, but what is this that you're saying? Isn't this do young? They said, oh no, this is not do young, this is do gee. And he said, but why? Oh, they said, because when you jumped into the water to save her, you were in danger of dying yourself. What better word to describe the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, who being rich for our sakes became poor, that we through his poverty might become rich. I think you have one final drawing for us, Annie. This is what the gospel is all about. This is what the New Testament is telling us. This is God's plan. As the writer so eloquently put it in the letter to the Ephesians, for God's plan, which he will complete when the time is right, is to bring all creation together, all things in heaven and on earth, with Christ Jesus as head and Lord. This is the future, God's future, our future, to draw all things together through Jesus Christ, with Jesus Christ as head and Lord. This is the future. It is happening now.
Be most interested to know that tomorrow morning, all morning, in the American Bible Society booth here in the exhibition hall, both Dr. Bratcher and Miss Valatone will be there to autograph copies of Good News for Modern Man. I'll be there all morning in the American Bible Society booth and for a part of the afternoon. And now may we turn, please, to hymn number 36 as we stand and sing, I Love to Tell the Story. Stand together as we sing. Thank you.
We talk a lot about the generation gap, but some of us are not doing very much about that generation gap. Perhaps it is because you and I do not admit that we are on the wrong side of that generation gap. Early last fall, as we talked together about this annual meeting of Women's Missionary Union, we chose the theme, "The Future is Happening." And there was a dream in our heart that somehow or other we could do something for our youth. We could point the adults and help the adults to look at their youth with new eyes and to listen to what youth is saying today. Late one night at my home in New York, the phone rang, awakening me, for after all, it is an hour later at my house than it is in Birmingham, Alabama, and I recognized the voice of Dr. Claude Ray over the line. I was straining to hear him. When he said to me, "Helen, you won't believe this, but a new folk musical for young people is being written, and the name of it is Happening Now." And I did strain to hear, and we strained to talk over that long-distance telephone conversation. And it was upon the following morning that I read a letter in a magazine from a teenager in defense of the music that her mother was shouting always, "Why don't you turn it down? It's too loud." And her defense in this moving, poignant letter in the magazine was, "Why don't you listen to our music? Why don't you listen to what we are saying? Why don't you listen to what we are saying in our hearts?" And then we decided to have Happening Now and try to see the new sights of today and try to hear the new sounds of today, and above all, to try to listen to the new meanings of today through our youth. We are happy tonight to present Bob Oldenburg, drama and music consultant for the Church Recreation Department of the Sunday School Board of our convention. And Mr. Oldenburg, who has written this folk musical, a successor, so to speak, to Good News, will come now to present Those Who Shall Assist and Those Who Shall Bring the Music in this presentation. Mr. Oldenburg.
Thank you, Ms. Fling, Ms. Hunt, Ms. Mathis, ladies of the WMU, fellow Southern Baptists, and young people. I would like to just demonstrate for you something that has been happening around us, and maybe some of us were not conscious of it. Would those who are under 30 please stand? Thank you. You may be seated. Adults, if you looked around, you saw the future happening now. 2 years ago, this past Saturday night, on the platform of the auditorium at Glorietta Baptist Assembly, a new folk musical was premiered. Good News. It was sung every Saturday night for the remainder of the summer to those participants who came to Glorietta. Those who sat and listened heard a new sound for the gospel. Since that time, many other pieces have been written. Tell It Like It Is, Purpose. And now tonight, we present Happening Now. Out there in the audience are many people who have meant much to me as I've tried to work in this particular area. Those who helped us on Good News, those who have gone other directions. But one fellow who stood at my side, though he lives in Waco as a sophomore at Baylor University, has helped me to understand more deeply what a young person thinks, how he feels, and what Christ means. And through my relationship with Eddie Lund, I've discovered that there is a new face, a new sound for the gospel. The gospel remains the same, the story of Jesus Christ, but it has a new sound to communicate to today's world. I'd like to ask Eddie Lund to come up here so that I might present him to you. Eddie? Eddie and I met last October on a weekend in my office at the Sunday School Board. We sat down to try to brainstorm where we should go. Pretty soon songs, ideas began to materialize, and we turned a tape recorder on and just let it run for almost 4 hours, trying to pick up just anything that would happen. And after a period of time, we filled up several reels of tape with a lot of nonsense, a lot of noise, a lot of ideas. And Eddie left. He had to go back to school. And then it was my task to go through that hour of tape and lift out those pieces that we wanted to say. After days and weeks of writing this all down, corresponding with Eddie, talking on the telephone, some notes began to take shape on manuscript paper. We worked closely with the church music department of the Sunday School Board, Mr. Elwin Raymer, and others in this department who have helped us. And finally, it has become a reality. And the young people who call themselves the Sound of Singing Youth of Belmont Heights Baptist Church, directed by Mr. Aubrey Edwards, will present for you tonight what began in the hearts of us two guys back in October. We prayed an awful lot about it. And we feel that God led us in a direction. We prayed with every note that's gone on the paper, with every sound that's gone on tape, with every rehearsal. And I wish you could have heard the prayers of these young people as they prayed tonight, just before they came in here. Your hearts will be blessed because they speak from one heart to your heart. Eddie, you have a word to say.
Well, the only thing I could add or say would be to thank the women and the organization of the WMU for their faith in the youth of today. And it's a lot of organizations don't believe that young people today are worth much, but we're here to try to prove that different. And the WMU has given us that chance to make this the world premiere of Happening Now. It's like the lady just said, if you stop and listen to what the young people are listening to on the radio and listen to the lyrics, you might be shocked and you might really be rattled to hear what the doctrine is in them. So we're trying to take the same approach that the other side does and just put something worthwhile into the songs. And there's a thousand things I'd like to tell you and just to let you know how I feel about it, but the best way I can communicate is through this musical. So why don't we get the show on the road?
Right. I'm sure these folks are anxious for it, too. Would you gentlemen come and remove the stand, please? Thank you, Eddie. All right. We have to get a few things set up so that we can begin. Now we present Happening Now.
Oh, hi there. Welcome to our happening. I suppose you all have heard about happenings.
These folks don't know what you're talking about.
Happenings? Oh, you know, where kids get together and talk and sing about their world and what's happening in them.
Some folks do this in coffee houses or in homes. It's great fun.
Well, we've invited all of you here to see one of our happenings and to be in with us.
But this happening's going to be different, we hope. We're not just going to talk about the problem. We're going to try to find some answers.
By the way, where is everybody? We can't start without them.
We'll have to. The audience is here, and we can't keep them waiting.
Well, all right. But it may be a rather weak beginning. You're lying, madam.
Now is every day new. Today will never be repeated again. This hour, even this very minute, will never happen again. So come on, live it. It's a new day.
I'm glad to see all of you made it, but where's everybody else? I got here late because the paper said we'd begin at 9:30. I thought I was coming early.
Me too.
I called Joe and he said to be here at 9:15.
I guess that's what a bunch of folks thought.
Man, we need to get our communication straight.
You're telling me? Jerry said Alice told him 6:30. I told him she was wrong.
Hey, where is Alice? Jerry told me to be here at 9 o'clock, so here I am. Late.
This is crazy. Here we are getting together to talk about our problems, and we've got one before we begin. Communication.
Well, better never than late.
And what's your story?
Well, Alice told me that Mike told Kathy that Frank had offered the show and talked to the show.
You shouldn't have listened to me. I always get it wrong.
All right. We're here to talk about problems, and this is a perfect example. The communications gap.
Time for communication.
Man, that kind of music makes you want to get up and move.
Right. Crazy we are, but we will ride
on the girl, down.
Don't stop me now. I'm just beginning to feel it. Shut up.
That's the way with this younger generation. They can't play anything cool.
Cool?
Yeah, cool it.
What do y'all mean, play it cool?
She's right, you know. We all are so uptight, you gotta let go somewhere.
Uptight? Well, that's a mild way of putting it. Here we talk about the good and the great things in life, but that ain't half the story.
Underneath, it's a pretty sorry scene.
Like what, for instance?
Well, like poverty.
Yeah, poverty. And war.
And loneliness.
Rebellion.
And poverty.
Okay, what about poverty?
Well, this picture was taken just about a block and a half away from here. Now, I've seen pictures of poverty before, but not like this.
Well, let's try something. Let's put ourselves into the picture. Imagine yourself there. What would you feel or think? How would you react? Hard? Try it.
Well, I don't know if I can.
Just try it.
Back on the back page, you'll find it ain't happening here. There ain't no headlines here, 'cause it ain't happening here. Just poverty and misery happening here. Cars and fancy clothes ain't happening here. Poor folks and kids in dirty clothes, that's happening here. Just poverty and misery happening here. Somewhere there's love and happiness, but not for me. I'm alone, so alone, no one cares about me. Oh, out there the world is passing fast, ain't happening here. All happiness goes flying fast, ain't happening here. Just poverty and misery happening here.
I just turned 18, and I'm a freshman in college. But if I ever get through with this war and all.
What it was for.
Oh, dear God, no. Oh, foolish, ugly, stupid world. You slaughter your future, and you teach your children to kill. Why? Why?
Biafra, a long ways away, but hungry, starving children make it as close as my own brother and sister.
The new morality, revolutions on campuses, rebellion, Oriental religions, young people trying everything. Where is it going to stop?
Libra, the Almighty, seventh sign of the zodiac.
The goddess of love, to thee we offer all we are.
Oh, dark of the past disappear. Tomorrow lies still in our fear.
Somewhere there's love and happiness, but not for me.
Sometimes we care.
Yeah, spend our money, Christmas baskets, toys for kids.
But do we really care about people?
Something.
But what?
Okay, so we got problems.
Well, someone's got to do something about it.
Not me.
Oh. What do you mean?
Just count me out. I'm not getting involved with nobody. My friend, on myself I depend. That's all, that's the end. Oh yeah, I'm satisfied with things right now. My chains are all around me now. I'm saying I don't wanna get involved. There's just one thing that I wanna know. What's the matter with the status quo? This involvement, it's just gotta go. Oh yeah, I'm satisfied with things right now. I change them all around anyhow. I'm saying I don't wanna get involved. I don't care about the folks next door. It's not my fault they're sinking lower and lower. Need some food, so let them loot a store. Oh yeah, I'm satisfied with things right now. But change them all around anyhow. I'm saying I don't wanna get involved. Lonely people, well, why should I care? It's not my problem, I got friends to spare. Try to love them, man, I wouldn't dare. Oh yeah, I'm satisfied with things right now. I change them all around anyhow. I'm saying I don't wanna get involved. My problems are, I'm saying I don't wanna get involved. Man, I'm in love. I'm saying
I don't wanna get involved. Oh yeah.
Like it or not, brother, you're already involved. This is your world. Poverty, prejudice, hunger, war, rebellion. It's your world. Now, what are you going to do about it?
Do you really think we can do something about these things?
Well, I don't know what, but somebody's got to do something.
All right. Suppose we all get up from here right now and go out there and do something. Are you ready?
Right now?
Right now.
Oh, man, I want to do something, but not right now. Couldn't we try it tomorrow?
Tomorrow, tomorrow is soon enough to worry, hurry. Tomorrow, tomorrow, I'll have more time to care and to share. All my time is taken up by things I have to do. Got to get my education, recreation too. Tomorrow will give me more time to do what I can do. All other things will have to wait at least till I am through. Tomorrow, tomorrow is soon enough to take a stand, be a man. Tomorrow, tomorrow I'll get involved with my fellow man. Problems, problems everywhere. Well, I've got problems. No one tries to understand or see things as I do. When I get myself straightened out, then I'll do something too. Meanwhile, I will simply watch, but I will pray for you.
Big deal. So you want to work? You want to do something? Tomorrow. Man, it's happening now. What are you going to do today?
Wait just a minute, fellas. We're getting nowhere. As long as we rationalize, we're going to find excuses to do nothing. Maybe something has to happen first. And you know, maybe it has to happen to us.
But what? Man, this is spooky. Here we've got real problems, and somewhere there's answers. Now you say we've got to do something.
Or be something.
I don't know.
What is the answer?
What is the way to meet the problems we face today?
Oh,
What the world needs now is love, sweet love. Man, I've heard that for years.
Yeah, like boy meets girl, girl meets boy, and oh, sure. All we need now is help with the population explosion.
No,
wait a minute.
It's not that kind of love. It's love for each other. Love for everybody. Big deal. We love through the Peace Corps. VISTA, CARE, United Fund, Missions, Welfare, UN, NATO, Non-Proliferation Treaties, the Common Market, Southeast Asia, Vietnam.
And love has turned to hate.
Okay. When we started this happening, we were going to remake the world. And I'm afraid we just about blew it. We know something has to be done. But now we're hung up on what? We sing, love is the answer. And I agree. But man, it's got to be a different kind of love. It's got to be a love like the one we felt a moment ago when we sang. It's got to be God's love. Uncolored, yet many colors. Sacrificing, but powerful. Bending, stooping, beautiful love. And this love had to come through a person in order to touch man. Jesus was this happening of God's love. The happening of God's love. You know, that's exactly what it's going to take in our world now. Oh, sure, we talk a lot about involvement and doing. Doing your own thing, if you please. Doing my own thing just might be. No, it is. Letting God's love happen in and through me. 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 Being the happening of God's love now. Just one man in a world full of men is like one star in a sky full of stars, but that one man can change his world if he will try.
Just one love. is my commandment. Love one another just as I love you. The greatest love a man can have for his friend is to give his life for them.
It may be tough, but I'm taking my part.
I've tried before, and I've always quit. But from now on, I'm going to let God do his loving through me.
I don't know. I really don't understand it. But it sounds right to me. Now, what about you? We've sung our songs, and we've given you our message. And we have accepted our own challenge to be this one man in our world and to let Christ live through us every day. And now, we hope that all of you will accept this same challenge to be this one man in your world. In a moment, when we sing our last song, we want to give you a chance to be this one man by just standing where you are, and only stand if you will be just one man for God.
Oh, Thank you.